Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Cone Zone. That's my dad, Lowell Cone. I'm Cone Jr., Grant Cone. And the draft is 2 days away. You've got the two foremost draft experts in the nation right here to break it all down for you. We're going to ask big picture questions like, will the 49ers actually get a player who will make an immediate impact, unlike last year? So that'll be something we talk about. But there was a press conference yesterday, and we all watched it. I was there. My dad watched it. Dad, sometimes with these press conferences, it's more interesting what the guy doesn't say, considering his job is to go out there and say as little as possible. What'd you think of?
Yeah, his job is to go out there and to pretend to be transparent, but to be obscure. Mm-hmm. It is to actually answer no questions. Because I understand they don't want to give anything away. I got that. So what Iggy said, what's most important is not what they say, because what they say is always, always baloney. It's what they don't say. So Iggy, set up the situation.
Okay. He comes in and he does a half hour press conference to say nothing, which is really quite impressive. Half hour of nothing. Comes in and he has a speech prepared of nothing, just thanking people. And at the end of the speech, he says, really, guys, I know you guys have a job to do. And I know you're going to be asking questions about Brandon Ayuk, and I sort of want to head that off and just say that we want him here for his entire career, and we're having discussions, and I was a player, and I wouldn't want those things talked about publicly, so I'm really going to ask you guys not to ask me about that. And he said, okay, I'll open up to questions. And then it was boom, like, well, has Brandon Ayuk been in the facility? He's like, oh, first question. No, he hasn't been in the facility. Well, have you taken calls from teams inquiring about trading for him? Oh yeah, sure. I mean, we take calls about players all the time. Okay. And then Matt Maiocco comes in escalating. Gotta love Matty. And he says, well, have you given him and his agent permission to seek? And then right mid question, John Lynch decides, I don't want to answer any more questions about this. And he starts looking down, fidgeting and really imploring us to change the topic. That was how it started.
Okay. But I saw it. What he does is he looks at Matty, because he doesn't know what Matty's going to ask. And he gives him the friendly John Lynch, hey, I'm one of the guys. Look, he sees where Matty's going with this. Have you given him permission to talk to other teams? Mm-hmm. He immediately, what was he, a strong safety, Higgy?
Yeah.
He becomes a strong safety.
Yeah.
Not in my territory.
Yeah.
You're not coming in my territory.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't want to address that. When he's already addressed it twice, yeah. I don't want to address that. And then he looks off to the other side. Anybody else have any other questions? First of all, whenever someone tells me, I don't want you to ask these questions, I'm a journalist. You don't run my life. I'm going to ask the question. Now you've invited me. Mm-hmm. I'd be a punk not to ask the question.
True.
You've invited me to do it. So they did the right thing, and Matty did the right thing. So what can we say that this non-answer, which was probably the most interesting thing of the whole baloney press conference, what does it mean? Let's try go back and forth and say what it could mean. One, it could mean we're close to an agreement with Ayuk, but we don't want to louse it up. We don't want to talk about it. What's another possible meaning?
Another possible meaning is let's say they have a trade on the table, sort of agreed in principle with another team, but it's contingent on a particular player the Niners want being available when that team is on the clock. Something like that. and they can't talk about it because there's like a 40 to 60% chance it'll happen.
I understand. And that those kinds of deals happen.
Right.
So maybe he's trying to protect a deal like that.
Right.
Maybe it also could mean we're close to a deal with another team right now for a straight trade. Mm-hmm. It could mean that. Mm-hmm. The point is, it could mean anything.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it means he doesn't want to talk about it because it's ticklish. There are problems. Most likely there's problems between the team and the player. I don't want to make it any worse. I'm going to make it seem like I only want to talk about the draft, but what I really want to do is not talk about that because mm-hmm. it's the only relevant topic right now.
Absolutely. And the final question of the press conference was, would you anticipate Ayuk not being on the team on Friday? And he said, no, I wouldn't anticipate that, which is kind of an interesting phrase. I mean, last year he was asked the same question about Nick Bosa and said, no, unequivocally, we're not trading Nick Bosa. No, there's no way. And this, they said, like, we don't want to. We'd rather not. It's not our preference. And we don't necessarily see it happening. But if they trade him, they can come in and say, yeah, I mean, we didn't see this one coming. We were so surprised that this happened. We didn't intend it. But, you know, things happen.
But the point is, he was not categorical. He did not say, no way he's gone. He'll be on the team on Friday. Easy enough to say, but he didn't say it. So again, what he didn't say was more important than what he said.
Yeah. What he said was he's under contract, which again, seems like kind of a threat. Like we have the leverage here. We could work something out, or he could play under his last year of his deal. Okay. Well, maybe, but there's nothing he said in this press conference that made me feel like the door is closed on them trading Brandon Ayuk this week. And again, the most interesting thing was when Maddie asked the question, have you given Ayuk permission to seek a trade? He wouldn't even let him finish the question when he had answered two in a row about Brandon Ayuk. So it makes you think, like, maybe he has. Why was that the one question you wouldn't answer about Brandon Ayuk?
Also, I want to ask you this, and I have to say, I have not talked to Maddie about this, and I wouldn't because it's his business, and I'm not in the business anymore, and all his sources are his sources, and that's what's fair. But could we speculate that maybe Maddie didn't ask that question out of the blue? That maybe
that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, a really, really good journalist would know some things, and if you ask a question like that, it's almost like you know the answer before you ask it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that Maddie is really good. And again, I wouldn't violate journalism ethics to ask him.
Right.
It wouldn't be right. We're friends and it wouldn't be right to do that. But I mean, I know him to ask. You don't ask that question out of the blue.
No.
He may have heard something and gives Lynch the chance to respond. And Lynch did respond with shut your mouth, essentially. Right.
Right. So look, here's a scenario. And I'm just guessing, I don't know, but it's possible if the Niners did give Brandon Ayuk permission to seek a trade, maybe he found one team that's interested. And maybe he went back to the Niners and said, this team is interested. And the Niners say, okay, well, what are they offering? It's pick whatever, 17. And I say, okay, all right, well, we'll see what happens when they're on the clock. We'll see who's available. Yeah. We'll see what we like. I mean, it could be like that. Okay,
absolutely.
We'll take it into consideration. But we're not just going to trade for pick whatever, 17 today, not knowing who's going to be on the clock and letting the rest of the league know, well, we no longer have Brandon Ayuk, so we really need a wide receiver. Like, it's definitely in the Niners' interest to keep it a mystery and make this deal at the very last minute.
I have no problem with what the Niners are doing, nor do I have a problem with what Lynch is doing, with how he comported himself. Lynch is a good guy. He has to protect the organization, but it's fair for Maddie to ask the question, and it's fair for us to try to unravel this knot and to be a little skeptical. I have a follow-up question, Iggy.
Yeah.
Leading into the draft, Ayuk is almost more important in the Niners narrative than whatever draft picks are going to take. The whole focus is on Ayuk.
Absolutely.
Would you agree? So here's my question. Is he worth all this attention?
Probably not. Probably. He's not so. Nick Bosa. He's not Fred Warner. He's not Trent Williams. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not the best wide receiver in the league. He's not the second best wide receiver. He's the third best wide receiver in the league. Yeah, I don't. Probably not. He's a very good player.
He can be replaced.
Absolutely. Because as important as wide receivers are, they're also extremely abundant, kind of like running backs.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. There's all this focus on Ayuk more than on the draft.
Yeah.
The draft's a big deal, I guess, more than on the draft. And I don't feel he's worth all of this talk and writing and effort.
Yeah, it's like he and his agent have hijacked the news cycle.
Yeah.
Because they want whatever deal they want, and they're using us to stay in the conversation every day. One more thing I think was interesting about the press conference yesterday as an exercise in journalism. Like, what do you write about that day? I feel like a lot of people would go to that press conference, hear John Lynch say, we want Brandon Ayuk to be a 49er for the rest of his career, and say, boom, that's the headline. John Lynch confirms that the Niners are committed to keeping Brandon Ayuk. Like, that is not the story. The real story is, again, what he didn't say. And that's why I think it's an interesting press conference. It's like, it's 99% baloney. And you got to try to find the 1% of non-magical meat.
You know how I look at it? Whenever I went into a news conference like that, I would be the columnist and the opinion writer, and then there'd be a beat writer. Mm. It could be Matt Maiocco. Well, the beat writer is the reporter. He has to report what Lynch says. I'm getting blurry again, Iggy. See that?
I know. I think you put your hand up to the thing and go like this.
Like that?
Yeah. Now you're talking. You had to refocus it. Cause I think you moved your hand in front of the thing and it messed it up. But now you're back.
Oh, God. Okay. So the beat writer has to say, this is what he said and blah, 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 blah. But then the columnist can say, this is what he said, but this is what it really means. You need two people to do that job.
That's true.
Yesterday. Yeah.
You really do. Brian Salcido says, off topic, fun fact. I know you like to tease Brock Purdy about his boots and commercials, but Arizona has over 25 million acres of farmland. I live about 20 minutes from where BP grew up, and my kids go to high school with many AG and cattle farm kids. I didn't know that.
Well, great.
That's wonderful.
Iggy, do you make fun of him? I don't.
I gently roast him in a good-natured way. I think that his endorsements are just precious and wonderful. Okay. Yes. No, I like Brock Purdy. And he can laugh at himself just like I can. Frank Top Motion, member for 13 months. Thank you, Frank. Okay. Here's the question. 10 draft picks. Will any of them make a difference this year?
Okay. This is interesting because the draft is such a big, the draft, you know, Lynch himself asked if he had any real needs. He said, not really, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They feel that this team is set.
Yeah.
They might need a little massaging, but this team is the best roster in the league.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that no player they take in the upcoming draft will make a significant contribution to the team in the upcoming season. I firmly believe that. What about you?
I'm inclined to believe that too. And I think they're not even looking for someone to make an impact. That's probably why. And it's because the way they look at their roster is, God, we are so good that no rookie could possibly walk onto this practice field and take a job from a veteran. It could never happen on this team. So why don't even try. Just get it. Like, look at the salary cap table for 2025 and figure out who may not be here and draft with 2025 in mind, which is really no way to get over the hump in the short term and win the Super Bowl.
Oh, Iggy, this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl.
No, really, that kind of thinking is how a team that won the Super Bowl might work, operate, but it's not the Niners.
Could I just say something about why this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl? I'm sorry. I know you're all 49er fans. Lowell's a jerk and all this. Here's why they're not going to win the Super Bowl. This team is loaded. This team is really good. Mm-hmm. This team has the best roster in the league, and it did last season too. But here's what happened. They got in the Super Bowl, and their coach, who's really not as good as people say, blew it yet again. And why did he blow it? He blew it because in the second half, when he had a lead, he should have been thinking, as any really top-level coach would think, how do I close out this game? What do I do? I'm ahead. It's like in boxing. How do I put this guy away in the sixth round? How do I put him away? Ray Leonard would have put him away. Thomas Hearns would have put him away. This guy, Kyle Shanahan, doesn't know how to put him away. So instead of thinking, gee, how do I end this game? How do I close it out? He's thinking, what's a cool play to run here? As a result, he calls all kind of passes that are incomplete. He doesn't take control of the clock. If he had run the ball, you can, between every play, you can get a lot of 50 seconds off, something like that. He wasn't thinking that way. So here's how it filters down into the locker room. Kittle says to Bosa, now again, I'm making this up. Hey, you know, we had the best roster in the league, and this guy couldn't get us across the finish line. This guy doesn't know how to get us across the finish line twice. I'm feeling I don't have that much confidence in him. We're going to go through another whole season with the best roster in the league. We're going to get to the Super Bowl, and this guy's going to blow it. All those times I did weightlifting, all those games I played hurt. And it'll come down to this guy blowing it again. That's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a subtext on this team. The coach is holding us back. That's why they're not going to win the Super Bowl, Iggy.
I completely agree. Well put. And it's like they could go 17-0 in the regular season next year. They can make it all the way back to the Super Bowl. As soon as they're in that game, they can't feel confident. I don't care what kind of a season they have. As soon as they're in that game and it's the second half and they're winning again, they all know what's going to happen. I mean, Kyle's done it three different times.
So, I mean, we're supposed to be talking about the draft, and we are, and we're saying probably no player that they draft is going to make a big impact in the upcoming season. But the real story is it doesn't matter anyway. They have a great roster. They know they have a great roster. They have the wrong coach for the great roster.
No question. And again, they have the wrong idea. They didn't win anything. They need to improve their team right now. And they needed that last year. And last year, they spent their first draft pick. They traded up for a safety who looks promising, but a safety, they didn't need a starting safety. He sat the first half of the season and only played because Talanoa Hufanga tore his ACL. So they traded up for a guy they intended to sit for a year. Then their next pick was a kicker. Then their next pick was a blocking tight end who didn't make the team, who spent the year on IR. So, I mean, it doesn't get much more arrogant than that.
Again,
when they say they don't have knees, that's what they're talking about.
They should trade down. They should get more picks. They should absolutely trade down from that number 31. But anyway, I mean, again, I think what they should be looking for is an offensive lineman. They should be looking for a real backup quarterback. I think that would be good. I don't think they need another running back.
No. You know how they get an impact player in this draft?
How?
Trade Ayuk for a top 20 pick, which is sort of the going rate for these wide receivers who are about to get credible extensions, and draft an offensive lineman, someone who's way better than what you got on your line right now, and someone who might be able to play left tackle in the future when Trent Williams retires. That would be a way to get an impact player and to really improve the team, because even without Brandon Ayuk, you have a great group of weapons, but your offensive line is not good. That'd be one way to do it.
Now, didn't Lynch say in the news conference yesterday that they might surprise you with a pick?
What was that right now? So, you gave me a question to ask. You said, ask Lynch what the Niners' needs are. And I was debating whether to ask the question because it kind of makes me sound stupid. Like, you're going to ask me this question. You know I can't answer it. But it's sometimes fun to ask stupid question because it's like, well, what are you going to say? You got to say something, right? And Lynch is the kind of guy who will say something. So I asked him what he thought the Niners' needs were, and it's a question he's not going to answer. But in not answering it, he said some interesting stuff. He said, look, I mean, I know He said, basically, he says needs are, needs is a funny word. He started talking about the nature of the word needs. So, you know, I don't, we don't really have any needs. We have a really good team, but you know, there are some spots that we'd like to add, and it's not necessarily the spots where people are expecting. It might be, you know, some spots that people aren't expecting, which I thought was telling. I mean, everyone's expecting them to take an offensive lineman. They didn't take any last year, and it seems like he was addressing that right away. And that makes me think, here comes another D lineman. When he said that, I thought, here comes another. We have no needs, and we're going to do something that people may not really expect us to do. Oh, D line.
Or, hold on.
Kicker.
Or he could mean no one ever thinks we're going to take an offensive lineman. We will.
It's true.
It could mean that too.
Could mean that too.
You know what he was like? He was being coy.
He was being coy. He could have just been saying words.
Yeah. You know, I want to say something about him in words.
Yeah.
I knew him when he went to Stanford. He was a very nice young man. If he went to Stanford, he took freshman English. I taught freshman English as a graduate student any number of years, and it was tough. Everybody worked hard, and you did a lot of writing in those classes. He sometimes he says things, and I think, did you take freshman English? Because if you took it with me, you couldn't say the things you say. I mean, and the other graduate students were smarter than I was. He has this thing he says. He wants to say, I have conviction. He has said so many times, I'm convicted.
Yeah.
Now, I think you get convicted of a crime. I think you say, I have conviction. And he got
hold on. The definition of convicted, having been declared guilty of a criminal offense by the verdict of a jury or the decision of a judge. That's what convicted means.
Yeah. So, John, please don't do that anymore. I mean, we both went to Stanford. You can't do that. It's I have conviction. I'm convicted. He's graduated. I mean, he graduated from Stanford. He's very bright. And also sometimes when he the object of a verb, he gets the object wrong. And when I had students writing that, I would not never with a red pen. You hate that. But I'd say, you know, like, could you get this object right? And coming into Stanford, you're supposed to know that stuff anyway. So, John, I really was impressed when I knew you. Think about this stuff because you're representing the team and you shouldn't at the very least say convicted.
I took freshman English at UCLA and there were certain things we could never, you were not allowed to do in the English department. You couldn't write, you can never use a passive voice.
Oh,
but you also couldn't use like the ING construction. Like they would really tell you, you have to take that out.
Absolutely.
ING is running runs. You have to do like all like, you know what I mean?
That's sure. Verbs. Active verbs.
Yes. Remember that. So I could do that.
God loved UCLA.
I don't know how good it is anymore. It was good 15 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, and anyway, John, please forgive me. That was my little spiel from one Stanford guy to another.
I think what we learned is that UCLA is a better school than Stanford. I think that's what we learned today.
Might be a better school than Stanford. I'm not, well, you know, let's not get into Stanford.
I didn't get in Stanford. They didn't want me.
No, he got rejected off the waiting list. And
I was on the wait list, though. They thought about it. They were like, should we let him in?
He got on the wait list. He got rejected off the wait list. And then a few days later, someone from Stanford calls me and says, you know, like it was a kid. It was very nice. Hi, Mr. Cohn. Could you give money to Stanford? I said, look, last week they rejected my kid. Please don't ever call me again. I don't want to give you any money. I'll give money to UCLA.
Okay, so before we move on from this topic, the Niners say they have no real needs. Last year in round three, they took a kicker and a blocking tight end. At what point will they make a pick that will just really frustrate people? Because it just seems completely superfluous. Like, are we talking running back in round three? I mean, are they going to? I think it's going to happen pretty quick.
I mean, the minute they take a D lineman.
That's it. Another one. Yeah.
Yeah, a D lineman. What I'm saying is what they need to do in this draft, They need a right tackle,
mm-hmm.
and they need to bring in another kicker to compete with that guy.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm talking, you know, the place kicker. They need to bring in somebody. Those are two things.
You know what they need to
do? Linemen? Yeah.
They need to improve the kicker room.
They need to get the best kicker room in the league.
Yeah.
Iggy, what do you do in a kicker room? Do you walk around kicking?
You probably.
Maybe they put on dance music and you dance. What do you do in a kicker room?
I would think so. I would think so. Maybe they play video games. Karaoke.
They send out for lunch.
Yeah. Hey, the offensive linemen are hungry, all right? Use those feet to move down. Brett Osborne says Hufanga is damaged goods. They need a strong safety.
Fine. I'm not arguing.
They also need a better backup quarterback than Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen.
They need to draft a quarterback. They need to do it every year. They do.
I agree
with that. Can I say something about the draft?
Yeah.
Okay. I tend not to pay that much attention to it. I'm sorry, guys. Let me just explain why. When people read newspapers, when I was at the San Francisco Chronicle, the green section really was a big deal. The players read it. Everybody read it. The Chronicle did not have a Sunday sports section. I want to explain. In the old days, the Chronicle and the Examiner, Chronicle Morning, Examiner Afternoon, were side by side at 5th and Mission Street in San Francisco. They had a combined Sunday edition, but the sports was Examiner people. So every Chronicle sports writer always had Saturday off because you couldn't write Saturday for Sunday. We didn't have anything to do with the Sunday sports section. At that time, the draft was not as big deal like it is today.
It was Saturday and Sunday.
Started on Saturday. Yeah. And the first round was on Saturday. So, yeah. I mean,
it wasn't a prime time event. It was first thing in the morning.
Yeah. And because they had to get through a lot of rounds that day.
Yeah.
So I would go to the Niners or the Raiders and I'd listen. I'd have lunch. But I couldn't write anything. So as a result, for me and for a lot of Chronicle people, the draft was not a news event because we didn't have the news. The Examiner had the news.
Yeah.
So for me, as opposed to for a fan, it was never that big of a deal. And what I noticed in myself, when players would come to the Niners, I don't like college ball anyway. So when players would come to the Niners, I wouldn't even know sometimes what school they had gone to. I didn't particularly know that Joe Montana went to Notre Dame, but when he became important, then I learned he went to Notre Dame or Steve Young went to BYU, but I had no interest where they went or actually where they were taken. Right. How were they doing on the 49ers? That's all I cared about. So my attitude to the draft is linked to that, especially this year where I don't think the Niners are going to do anything very important. And I don't know one player they're looking at. But when he gets on the team and if he's relatively important, then I'll find out where he went to college.
I like the draft because I grew up a Niner fan. And when I was really young, they were great. And as I got older, they got progressively worse. And every year the draft is like the hope that they're going to get some Hall of Fame player and everything's going to turn around. So I was really into it when I was younger. And it was freshman year of high school. We were playing... we play on Saturdays a lot. And this was back before they made the NFL draft a primetime thing in the week. So we had a doubleheader on a Saturday. And this was an opportunity.
What do you mean we had a doubleheader?
Freshman baseball. Okay. Yeah, Mr. O'Dowd. We had a doubleheader on a Saturday. And this was my opportunity. Freshman baseball is serious. O'Dowd baseball is serious. You wanted to impress people, impress the coaches, make yourself a varsity player one day. You go to that freaking doubleheader. I skipped it. Because the draft was on, and I told my teammates and my coach that I had a cold, but I watched the Niners draft Quame Harris, and Kevin Ruma found out. And he was like the captain of the team, and he came up to me at practice the next day and said, you skipped? you skip those games for to watch the draft? And he just like shook his head and walked away. And I was like, God, I'm like, I disappointed Kevin. Anyway, we're still friends though, me and Kevin.
Kevin, if you're watching this, we both really like you a lot.
Yeah,
if
he, had a, he was
if
right.
He was right. If Figgy had
I had a commitment to a team, I should have been there.
I agree.
The draft is lame, and they took Quame Harris, who sucked. Sorry, Quame.
Okay.
It might have been Rashawn Woods. It could have been one of those two. Hard to say. Might have been Rashawn Woods. He wasn't so good either. Rashawn, if you're watching, I'm so sorry. Jesus Banda says, how many O-line did the Niners give first-round grades to? Probably zero just to take another D-line. Jesus, I don't know.
Yeah.
Justin Morrison, do finished college quarterbacks like Purdy have more utility in Kyle's system compared to other teams? I like Sam Hartman a million starts, maybe fifth round.
I think they do have more utility. I think it's a good question, and my answer is yes, and I think Purdy proved it.
Absolutely. I mean, Kyle hasn't shown the ability to develop a quarterback like Andy Reid or Mike Holmgren or Bill Walsh, but he could take a guy who's developed already and put him in a system with a good team. Justin. Okay. Sleeper pick time. Dad, let's do Giants because they're playing today. They're playing the Mets tonight. Logan Webb is on the mound, on the bump for the Giants. 2.5 earned runs, more or less, for Logan.
More because he gives up three runs.
Three runs?
What he does. It's what he does.
Okay. How about Severino, for the pitcher for the Mets? 2.5 earned runs for him.
What's his ERA, do you know?
No.
Okay. I'm going to say he's going to give up more.
Good call. Okay, let's go Giants again.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. I don't want to do that. Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah.
Hits, 1.5. Two hits.
I don't think so.
That's not today, buddy. Chapman.
Oi.
Half a hit. Can he get one hit today?
I'm going to give him one hit.
He's on a hitting streak.
Yeah.
Chappie. Okay. They're not letting me pick anyone from the Mets. So let's do one NBA pick and then we'll be done. Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant. What about Kevin Durant? He's playing tonight. 25.5 points against Minnesota.
I'll give him that. He's a good scorer.
He can score.
The guy can score.
The four. Logan Webb, Jung-Hoo Lee, Matt Chapman, and Kevin Durant. Those are our picks. $10 to win $59.70. Use promo code CONE. Get up to $500 on your first deposit match.
Iggy, before we get off of this, Giants. Is it not counting pitchers, just position players. Mm-hmm. Is there any player on the Giants you would call excellent?
Excellent. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Not even close.
Not even close. Okay.
What about the closer?
No, I'm talking about not pitchers.
In the field. Oh, absolutely not. Not even close. No.
Is there any player in the field you would call good?
Damn, good. I kind of like Lamont Wade Jr., but he doesn't even play every day.
No, he's a platoon player.
The new shortstop seems decent. Ahmed.
That's
not good. That's decent. Decent's different.
Decent. I'm talking good. Iggy, from my point of view,
no.
They do not have a good player.
No. Not Soler, no. Not Chapman, not Conforto.
No. They have some decent players or players who don't outright suck. That's what they have. And
is Jung Hoo Lee batting third for them now? Yeah, they suck.
In grading, you'd say most of their players are a C.
Yeah.
If you graded like that. The center fielder maybe a C+. He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I'd say most of their players I don't think they have a B in the field.
What I don't understand about him is they have a big budget, and Farhan's been here for years. It's not like he's just taking over and tearing it down so he could rebuild it. Like, this is what he's constructed. This. It's a boring, mediocre, at best team.
Slow.
Slow. No power.
Unexciting.
Yeah. All of those things.
Yeah. This Farhan, again, I don't know him, but as far as compared to Brian Sabian, this guy is so mediocre, so unimaginative, so undaring. I mean, I covered the Sabian Bochy teams, and this is what they got now. I'm not putting down Bob Melvin. I love Bob Melvin. This is what he inherited.
Yeah.
Good grief. Good grief.
I like the word conforto, though. I like saying it.
Yeah. Do you feel conforto saying conforto?
I feel conforto saying conforto. Okay, back to the
I know what you mean.
So we just talked about the Giants, how many players are good on that team, and we came up with zero.
Zero.
The Niners have quite a few good players, and they have some elite players at their position. Let's list all the players on the Niners who are absolutely elite at their position.
Okay, let's just define it clearly.
Yes.
Elite doesn't mean they're the best in the league, but it means they're in the elite category.
Yeah.
Is that fair, Iggy?
One of the three or four best at their position.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
One of the three or four best. Yeah.
All right. Well, I would say Christian McCaffrey.
Yes. Good call.
He's elite. He's
the best running back or one of the best running backs in the league. Trent Williams, still one of the best left tackles in the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. George Kittle.
Yep. Still one of the best tight ends in the league.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Iggy, as far as I'm concerned, that would handle the offense.
Well, there's one more technically, but it's because he's the only person who plays his position. Juszczyk.
I don't care about him.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go defense.
Okay. Nick Bosa.
Absolutely. Fred Warner.
Absolutely.
That's six.
That's five.
Oh, it's true. Sorry. Use checks out. That's five.
Yeah, use checks out. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, he is irrelevant.
He may be a very nice man, but no, not the way they use him. He's not a real fullback. I don't know what the hell he is. He's a blocker. He's a tight end. I don't know what he is. Iggy, five is all I can come up with.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Tre'Davious Ward in there or Javon Hargrave or any other DB or Debo or Ayuk. I wouldn't put any of them in the elite status.
Why would you not put Ayuk?
I mean, I would put him in the tier right below,
right
beneath it. And to me, he's a great route runner. He's tough. He'll go over the middle and he can beat you deep, but he's not big. He's not extra fast. He doesn't make really difficult catches with bodies around him. Like, he can get himself open, and when he gets himself open, he can catch the ball. But I think the best receivers can make those really tough catches with guys hanging all over him. I've never really seen him do that. So I think there are things, limitations to him.
And in fact, it's a working hypothesis is that he took himself out of the Super Bowl by being too combative. Yes. He wasn't focusing on the game. He was focusing on little battles with defensive backs.
Yeah. And this has been an issue with him since training camp. Like, he got in a fight with Fred Warner, I think it was last year, and I wrote about it and I really liked it. I thought it was cool to see him take training camp so seriously and to stick up for the offense. But it is sort of like a pattern with Brandon Ayuk where he'll let his emotions get best of him during games. And I know he hasn't gotten 15-yard penalties and stuff, but it seems like it takes away from his focus and performance.
You can't be emotional. You can play with emotion, but once the play's over, it's business. You have to get back in the huddle, and you can't be emotional. It takes away from your performance, and it hurts the other 10. You can't. And I want to say about Purdy, when we say he's not elite, people are going to say, oh, you're putting down Purdy. I love him. I love to watch him play. I admire what he does. There are better quarterbacks. He's in the second level, no matter what his numbers are. He's in the second level. And what's going to happen, we're going to see in the Super Bowl, they used man-to-man coverage against him. And when you do that, the quarterback, the window is not as big as in zone coverage. Joe Montana could kill man-to-man coverage because he could put the ball between the eight and the seven on Dwight Clark.
Right.
I don't know if this kid can do that. He needs maybe a larger area of the receiver that zone coverage gives him. And I think we saw in the Super Bowl, if you give him man-to-man, he may not be quite as good, i.e. may not be elite.
Right. And that's, we're talking arm talent there. So not just arm strength, but actual accuracy. And I know his completion percentage is very high, but a lot of that is the fact that he's throwing against zone coverage and these windows are wide open and his receivers are very good and the plays are working. But when with man coverage, it's often like a receiver's running and the DB's on his hip, like maybe on the outside hip, and you got to throw it down and in or down and at a certain little spot where only he can get it. And the best quarterbacks can do that. Kurt Warner, when I was a kid, could really freaking do that. He'd all they show it on SportsCenter and replays every week. Like, look at him put this ball in a place where only his receiver can get it. That's what you have to do against man-to-man coverage. And I don't know if he can do that. I mean, he'll have to prove it. And you can't be an elite coverage. You can't be an elite quarterback if there's one thing teams can do to sort of take you out of your game.
I agree. And we saw a little bit of that in the Super Bowl. He's always going to be a very, very good quarterback. Yes. Elite, still to be determined.
Yeah. Well, he is. And what's interesting about Brock is he definitely has the respect of his peers. Like, all the quarterbacks in the league will praise him. And the 49ers former quarterbacks. Like, I think I told you this, but a few months ago, I was doing a hit for Channel 2. And I just off the top of my head compared Brock Purdy to Jeff Garcia. That's who I sort of think he's similar to. I guess Jeff Garcia's sister was watching and heard and called Jeff. And then Jeff texted me and he's like, did you really compare me to Brock? Can you send me that clip? Cause I want to show my kids. Like, he loved the comparison. And I thought if Jeff Garcia thinks that much of Brock Purdy, then so do I.
Wow. That's a good story. You'd never told me that.
Yeah,
God loves Jeff
Garcia.
Can you
give me that clip? I want to show my kids. Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
And you did?
Yeah, because I'm sure that his kids think the world of Brock Purdy and haven't probably seen Jeff Garcia play. Like, yeah, I could do that. That was pretty good. And he could. He was.
That's so sweet.
Can you imagine Jeff Garcia in his prime on this team, McCaffrey, and that would have been something else.
Hey Iggy, I think if Jeff Garcia were on this team, he'd have problems with Kyle.
Yeah. It's true. And he talked about it. Yeah.
What play? What?
Yeah.
You're calling what?
I mean, can't.
Don't you think?
I can't set the protections. I can't call an audible. Like, I just have to do whatever you tell me to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he would have wanted a little more and would have deserved more autonomy. He was one hell of a quarterback. I love to watch him work. And, you know, Ira Miller loved to watch him work. He called Garcia a chaos quarterback. You know, sort of like Russell Wilson. When all hell is breaking loose, he's great.
You know who else would have clashed with Kyle? Steve.
You think so?
Yes. Now, Steve would have said all the right things and he would have been coachable. But I mean, he yelled at George Seifert famously during that game when Seifert benched him. Like, I don't think if Kyle said something slick to him or didn't support him in a press conference, I think Steve would get in his face. Harbaugh would have.
Steve had a big ego.
Uh-huh.
One time, Mariucci, he was talking about. I think I have this right, Steve. If I'm wrong, please. Please correct me. He was talking about Bill Walsh's ego. And he said, you know, Steve Young and Jerry Rice have really big egos, Lowell. But if you put them together, it's not as big as Bill's. It's true. Bill had the biggest ego. He was so insecure, but had such self-confidence. He had both. And I, Steve, if I got that wrong, I apologize. It was a lot of years ago, and you're a great guy.
Yeah, I remember. I think Steve told a story of like he was in some type of meeting when Mariucci was the coach, and Mariucci was installing some play that Steve had seen installed hundreds of times. So he was just doodling in his book, and he was talking. I just wasn't taking notes. I just was doodling. I'd seen this play a million times. I think Steve at a certain point felt like he was beyond the coaches that he had, kind of like how Aaron Rodgers is, except he was more diplomatic about it.
Right. Because Aaron Rodgers is a kind of a strange guy.
He's an odd duck. Yeah.
Steve is the kindest person, and he doesn't like to hurt other people's feelings, but he will. I mean, yeah. He's a quarterback. He takes charge, but his instinct, I think, is to be a very kind person.
Yeah. Sid Droring says, love the show. Great relation you have and the way you both analyze football. Let 2024 be our Super Bowl season. Greetings from Norwayno. Let's go Niners. I don't know where that is. Where do you think that is, Dad?
Does that mean Norway?
Norway. No. Probably said that's probably Norway with the extra NO at the end for no reason.
Greetings from Norway. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. From America. Nice to meet you from Norway. That was pretty cool.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, we got 45 minutes today. Dad, we did it.
You know, I have to say, I enjoyed the show, and I always enjoy doing it with you, Grant.
I enjoyed it very much. Next week, we'll have a whole bunch of new players to talk about, and we can discuss how the 49ers went D-line in round one again. And maybe Brandon Ayuk will still be on the team. It'll be some interesting stuff.
Okay. I love you, Iggy.
I love you too, Dad. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll be back soon.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.